Something for thee. You know, we all have something for the Lord, don't we? We have our bodies that are presented a living sacrifice, totally acceptable unto Him, which is our, what, reasonable service, which makes it reasonable for us today. I'm just reminded of God's faithfulness. And as we looked at this past week of the Samaritan woman, this woman, you know, realized who Christ was, went down to Sychar, which is there in the area of Samaria, and she went and told everybody, hey, this is the way, the truth, and the life. And that's coming from my own words there. She went, and she was so excited. She goes, you can't believe I have actually talked with the Messiah. Come on. Come on, you know. Reminded me, I was sharing Sunday school. I said I was in the grocery line, and this lady and I had a wonderful conversation. We were laughing, talking. Other people started laughing and talking. And the very last thing I had to say, it was all because of Jesus. And you know what? You couldn't hear a pin drop. And the grocery store got real quiet. And I told the Sunday school class, I was like, well, it's time for me to go. No, but it was like, no. I felt bold as a lion, and these people were behind me, and I was just like, okay, it's time for, I need to go. I need to say, it's all I need to say. But my point was, when I dropped the seed of faith in their hearts, hopefully Satan won't grab it, is all because of Jesus. You know, think about Jesus, you know, while you're busy in the grocery store, you know, picking out what you provided. Be thankful for what the Lord has done. That's what this lady at the well, who was not a popular old lady, who slept around with five different guys. Of course, like I said before, you could flip the quarter on the other side today. You have people, the guys sleeping around with different women, and on in our society of lasciviousness. That just means you just let everything out in the open. You don't care. And that's a horrible sin, but that's one of the works of the flesh, works of the spirit. Is that this woman was going out by faith. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And she was telling people there, come on, see who this Christ is, this Jesus, this anointed one. You know, this God in the flesh, the incarnate Christ. And so the people came up, as we looked at last week, and they were curious about who this Jesus was. In John chapter 4, verses 40 through 42, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. I thought about this past week. What would it be like if Jesus decided to come, and obviously he won't, because he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he won't come back until, what, the rapture to take the church. I got that. If anybody else is claiming to be Christ, then be wary of them, because there's a lot of false Christ today everywhere. Well, just pretend. Let's go to pretend land. If Jesus was to come to Oconomowoc for 2 days, my goodness, I'm sure we'd stop what we would be doing and say, let's go see Christ. Let's see who. And the crowds, I remember when Bill Clinton came to the Walmart there in Arkansas. And I remember I did not care, you know, I had nothing against Bill Clinton back in those days when he was president. But I remember going down through northwestern Arkansas and driving by the Walmart. It was packed with a sea of people just to see one person. Old Bill was out there. And I kind of laughed and I said, well, you know, he's Hillary and they're from that area, you know. Hillary's born and raised around there, But my point is, what does it take for one person to get the people to come? And I thought, faith. And what's the one thing that doesn't have people come to one person? Unbelief. That's what we're looking in Hebrews right now. The problem with Israel, the problem with the church today is unbelief. That is the sin that rocks the boat, that gets people fearful and afraid when the storms come. Well, let me not get too far way out there here, okay? But come back here for a minute. So, he abode there for 2 days, and how many more, verse 41, believed because of his own word? So remember, they said to the lady, hey, the Samaritan, we came because of what you said, but we wanted to see it for ourselves. Remember, the Jews were always looking for signs and miracles, you know? But then the Greeks were looking for what? Wisdom and philosophy. They were looking, they were the intellectuals. Problem is with intellectuals, I learned a long time ago, is that they talk in circles and they don't impress me. And, you know, it's just, to me, they're just trying to rationalize the reason away to get you on their side because they think they're smarter than you are. That's all it is. Those little mind games they play. Kind of interesting. Don't get into their vain philosophies, like it says in Timothy. Paul warned Timothy, stay away from those fairy tales. King James English is talking about their philosophies. Verse 42, and said unto the woman, now this is Jesus, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So, you know, they're looking at Jesus, and they're saying, okay, we are here because we believe in this Christ, the Anointed One. He is the incarnate Christ that came into the flesh. We believe because he's here. The woman, they thought it was great that she actually brought them up there to where this well was. And what a perfect location there. You had Samaritans being witnessed to by Jesus Christ at that time. You can imagine it was, you know, probably in the evening time when by the time they all came up there. His disciples, as we're going to find out, were with him. And his disciples, of course, we looked at that last week. Jesus says, I'm not about just here for food. I'm here about to do my Father's business. I'm here to do his will. And today we have to ask ourselves, were we about doing Christ's will? So we're going to look at here this morning about, now Jesus leaves Samaria and he goes up to Galilee, which is there, oh, I'd say it's about 70 miles away. So he has to travel further up north. And let's get down here to God's word, verse 43. And after 2 days, he departed unto Galilee. And Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. Now, it's interesting that Jesus was from Nazareth. Nazareth was in Galilee. And Galilee was like Waukesha, to pronounce those Indian names right, Waukesha County. Okay, like it is here, Nazareth is like to Oconomowoc. He had a town within a province. So Jesus had grew up in that area. And remember when Mary and Joseph came back from Egypt, they had to settle. They went back to Nazareth and they settled there for a while. And Jesus grew up as a young boy into a teenager, into a young adult. And it wasn't until the Lord called our Lord to John the Baptist. You remember he was baptized and his ministry began. And then he was tempted in the wilderness. And then when he came out of the wilderness, remember, you know, John said, behold, the Lamb of God. And we've gone through the time of the first miracle, which is when at the marriage there in Cana. You remember that he turned to water into wine. But he has, Jesus is, knows himself and has testified himself. Now a prophet is no honor in his own country. You know, it's just amazing. How can we ask ourselves today, when we came to know the Lord ourselves, what was our family response like? Oh, you're trying to tell me about Jesus? Oh, I've already got religion. I don't need to hear what you have to say. You know what? You probably need it more than I do. So this Jesus that you're talking about, I have the church. That's good enough. Well, unfortunately, the church doesn't get you to heaven. But you got certain people in the family today and all of our families around that think they have all the answers. And they look back at us and say, you know, you probably need it more than we do. So you know what? We're satisfied with what we're doing. It's about time you woke up. Well, unfortunately, they haven't woken up to the Jesus that we know of today, unfortunately. And I've just left those people in his hands. But it's interesting that there are other people in the Bible that were not honored in their own homeland. Joseph, remember Joseph, as he was the father's favorite. And his father, you know, said, oh, Joseph, you know these dreams. And Joseph's problem was growing up with his family, he had a big mouth on him. He talked too much. And his brothers overheard it, and they became jealous. And what happened? They sold Joseph into slavery. So Joseph was not appreciated by his brothers or by his own family because God had called him to do what he had to do. Also, David. Remember, and by the way, Joseph was a teenager. David was a teenager, too, when God called him. And his father, Jesse said, why don't you go out and feed the animals, David? David was a young guy. Remember, these are people who are not welcome in their own country. And he would go out, and remember when Goliath came and he taunted for 40 days. He ravaged on. Ever been around somebody with a big mouth? They go on and on and on. And it's just like, oh my goodness, you know, I just, you know, it's either you face the issue or you fall back in fear. You face the issue, you fall back in fear. You face the issue with faith. David was like, oh, I'm, you know, David had killed a lion and a bear, just a teenager. He took his rocks and his sling, and he went after the giants in his life. He was not afraid. He was just a teenager. But he was, by his brothers and his peers, they were like, he's just a young squirt. Man, don't want to have nothing to do with him. Jeremiah was the same way. He was, you know, his dad was a priest. He grew up there in Jerusalem, and he went out, and as a teenager, God called him and said, why don't you go on out? I'm going to put my words in your mouth. And he did that 40 years. Finally, after a year and a half of teaching Jeremiah, we finally got to the point where Babylon came. Jeremiah was saying, look, Babylon's coming. Repent. Get things right. Did his family and his people around him believe in what he had to say as a prophet? No, it was unbelief. Again, hits home, doesn't it? It really does. And then Paul, he was not honored by his countrymen. You know, they hated Paul because Paul was supposed to be of that lineage. You know, he went to the finest schools and he did everything right in the Jewish custom. He had the best teachers and he was very smart. But, you know, not smart enough for God. God made him do a 360 degree turnaround, got his attention, but that still didn't change what people you think. Be careful about people who are real close to you. I'm not talking about people who love you. I'm talking about people who know you real well. Be careful around them because they knew too much about you. And they knew too much about Paul. And they tried to take advantage of him. Lied about him, stuck their knives in his back, so to speak. And Paul was not welcome at home. And of course, Jesus was not welcome in his hometown. He's a carpenter's son. Are you kidding me? He grew up. We knew this kid. Now he's talking like he's doing miracles. And my goodness, he's calling, you know, he's the Christ, the Messiah. You know, who is this man anyway? It's kind of interesting. I told somebody after I was saved, no, I just didn't come to know the carpenter's son. I came to know Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God. And they thought I was off the wall. They said, well, Jesus is just the carpenter's son. And this person was a church-going person, too. You know, going to church for years, one of the churches up the road. And I was just like, what? And I went back and I told my pastor, and I said, I don't understand. He says, oh, there are a lot of churches that are filled with unsaved people. They can quote you scripture verses and say all the right things, but they don't have that spirit in them. They're not changed. And that's when he told me there is a change in your life and things are different than they were years ago. And you're a different person because of Jesus Christ. Yes, we all sin because of unbelief, but by belief we're knowing that Jesus forgave us of our sins. And on top of that, we're growing in the Lord. We're more Christ-like. This is our temporary abode. And we'll know them by their fruits too. The same person went on and he lived an ungodly life, and then his life, his marriage fell apart. And you have some people live up in the extremities today, have really nice places and all, and they're just as lonely as somebody who doesn't have anything at all, period. There are some very lonely people out there, sad people. But thank God for the Christian, it's different. So here he was. He was, Jesus, you know, even knew that a prophet was not welcome in his own country. So they left Samaria, went into Galilee, verse 45. And when he was coming to Galilee, the Galatians received and having seen all things that he did at Jerusalem at the first feast. They're probably thinking about, you know, I'm thinking. They went to the Passover. And remember, in a few chapters before this, and they saw what was going on with Jesus. And, you know, remember when Jesus went into the temple, he turned the tables over. He, you know, was getting people's attention because they were making a mockery of God's house. They were in it for the money. And unfortunately, these people became angry. But Jesus was upset because, you know, he was making his father's house a den of thieves. But these same Galileans, they were like, okay, well, we were there. Let's go visit this Jesus. We remember him about a year ago. He came to the Passover. There were some good things he did, and there were some things we didn't like, upsetting people and like that. And so then it says here, that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, and they also went into the feast. So they remember also, my other point is too, they remember that Jesus did a lot of miracles. They were there, remember. They were there for a lot of miracles that he did. But they weren't watching him as the Messiah. They were not, it was not his Messiah. It's looking back over in chapter 2, John chapter 2, it says verse 23, and when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, at the feast day, many believed in his name and therefore saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Verse 25, and needed not that any should testify of man, and he knew what was in man. In other words, a lot of people were there just for the miracles. Today, people go to churches, a lot of them for show and tell. I went to churches for years without knowing Jesus. And I knew that I wasn't right with God. And after a while, I stopped going to church. And then I went back to church. And after doing this for a number of years, then what got my attention was through the preaching of the word. Never heard it like that before. And I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I was going to hell. And I realized I needed a Savior. And I tell you what, that Sunday evening, I gave my heart to the Lord. You know, December 14th, 1979. I knew after all those years of going to church, in and out of churches, I needed Jesus. And God's changed my life ever since then. But these people, Jesus knew their hearts. Today we see a lot of show and tell in churches. And you see a lot of people who don't have changed lives. They're going by emotions, whatever feels good. So we're going to look here at the main part of here of this message in verse 46. We're going to be looking at, so when Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick in Capernaum. That was 20 miles away. That was 20 miles away. And he heard about what Jesus has done. And he was like, okay, he was a nobleman. And he was, you know, probably under Herod Antipas at that time. And he worked under the governor. So he probably made some money there. And, you know, back in those days, you had people that would come and they would have faith healers. Paul had to deal with them through his missionary experiences. Remember different ones that were the Antichrist spirit. There were false healers and you had false prophets everywhere. And he heard about Jesus. And he heard that he had come up. And he had a son that was sick. Now just think about it for a minute. Put yourself in this man's shoes. And I'm not here to judge the man this morning, because I'm saying if my son was sick and I knew he was going to die, there's a couple of ways you travel back in that day. You could travel by chariot, and horses have more than one horse, which was faster. You could take a horse and you could go by horse. Number three, you could go by mule or donkey. Or number four, of course, there was the ship, but I'm talking about here on land. Or you could walk. So I'm sure he probably took a chariot, probably could very much afford it, and said, you know, I'm going. My son, I don't know how many sons he had, but I'm going to go. He's sick. And this guy could heal people. Now he's probably at his wits' ends. And I'm sure we've all been in that same boat where like somebody we know hurts. And he believed. He believed. He had a seeking faith. He sought out this faith that he had, which in Capernaum was 20 miles away. He says, look, I'm going to swallow my pride. This man's a carpenter's son, but he's done some miracles. I want to go check it out. And I would guarantee you, if we had doctors today, if there was anything left to do for somebody who we knew was dying, we'd be the first ones to get in our cars and go. I know stories of that. You all have done that too. You've been there, done that. Or you've done anything you could for your loved one, your mate, your friend, whoever it is. You know, you'd stop and say, let's go. What's the point in waiting? We've all done that because we love them. It's not about the money or sell the house. Take whatever you want. I want that person. That person means more to me than anything else in the whole wide world because I love them. And so that's what happened with this man. He had a seeking faith. Verse 47, when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and the Galilee, Jesus had traveled from Galilee, from Judea, excuse me, and through Galilee. That's over 100 miles travel. You know, he stopped off in Samaria, but my goodness, he had traveled all this time. He was a traveling man. He was a traveling preacher. He was the Son of God. He had went across his father's business. And so he went to Galilee. He went into and besought him that he would. And this is the man, he heard about Jesus, that he would come down and heal his son, and he was at the point of death. Now, the idea of besaulting him, that has the idea of the imperfect tense in the Greek, that has the idea of beseeching him over and over again. Come on, Jesus, heal my son, please, please. He was getting desperate. This poor boy, he hasn't even hit puberty yet. He hasn't been a teenager. He has no idea to date a first girl. He's never even held down a job yet. Nothing. Give him a chance, you know. I think some of us today, we would lay down our lives for ones that we know. I know some of you have been married to others. You lay down your life for the other one. I know you would. Just because you love them. And some of you here for your friends or your family because you love them, or your sons or your daughters because you love them. And so there he was, and, you know, he's at the point of death, and he's just saying back to Jesus. And, you know, but just keep in mind through this sermon here, remember there was a man named Lazarus, and Jesus waited, 4 days? And remember Mary and Martha came to him and said, Jesus, why did you wait? Because he was about his father's business to what? To glorify him. Remember when things are put on postpone, when our belief becomes unbelief, remember God has a reason. And my goodness, it hits home every week, doesn't it? Something comes up and saying, Lord, why doesn't this person I love change? I love this person. I wish they'd change for the better. And God's saying, it's okay, pray for them. Wait upon me. I will strengthen you, and I'm doing something. Just be patient. Be patient on it. It's a hard thing to learn, but it seems like we think we've learned it. We gotta try again to do it, because again, we want the love of Christ to reach us. Wouldn't it be boring if life went on and nothing changed in life? It would be a pretty boring life. But God puts in all kinds of things in our lives. to have us trust Him, love Him. So there He was. And so verse 48, and then said Jesus unto him, to this noble man, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Well, you know, the Jews just believed in signs and wonders. Today, people, there are a lot of big churches today, they look for signs and wonders. They're everywhere. You know, you got to have like this, certain kinds of music or the light show or the smoke. They have smoke nowadays. You know, they try all kinds of things to entertain the people. But I would challenge every pastor this. I would ask them to say, okay, where's the Spirit of God? Well, you know, it's on these healings and everything else that's going on. I said, but truly, I said, is that really changing people's lives? Is it an eternal thing or is it a temporary thing? And I tell you, some of these people would tell you, if they were here, they'd say, well, it's just temporary. Jesus is eternal. Jesus changes lives. It's not a feel-good when I leave church, I'm like, oh, I'm let down and I'm right back to where I was again. No, we have a life that's different than that. The Samaritan woman found out when she had her persistent faith. Even Nicodemus, when he had his cautious faith, he was careful being an intellectual with Christ. He asked him three questions. The Samaritan woman asked him three questions. They were answered. And then, of course, the nobleman, he had this desperation type of faith. He was like, please save my son. Boy, that hits home too. We pray for our family members that they get saved. And even for our own loved ones, our baby boys and baby girls and grandkids and great-grandkids, they get saved. And so here we go. I love what Jesus did here. He says, even though, let me stop here in verse 48. This is very important. People get angry at God and saying, why does God allow things to happen like this? Why didn't Jesus just heal this person right away? Because Jesus is in the working business. It takes time. He's working in people's lives. There's one lady here and here in this room who had a busted up arm. And I was thinking about her this week. I was like, my goodness, she's walking around like everything's okay. Everything's fine. You would never know she had a busted up arm about 4 months ago. It was amazing. I would never know because she trusted the Lord to heal her. And she has a good husband, took good care of her. So, you know, so Jesus is saying here, hey, it's not about the signs. Verse 49, no man saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Now, this is the idea. It's like it's going from the imperfect tense to the perfect tense. He's going to die. He's there. If you don't do something today, Jesus, he's gone. He's history. He's exasperated. Have we ever been that way before? I'm sure we have been that way. We're just like, Lord, I can't hold on anymore. I've had it. Please help my unbelief because there's nothing left. There's people we pray for. People who are just like, man, there's a way I could change this person. Jesus saying, I want you to come into my rest. I want you to rest, child. I love you. But sometimes we're not willing to give it to the Lord. We got to hold on to it. I mean, I know it's been one of those weeks for me. I've had to struggle with my unbelief. We all do. And Jesus said to him, go. I like this because the man was saying, no, Lord, you go. And Jesus saying, no, you go, my child, in faith. You go because guess what? I've already healed him. You know, God never has allowed us to go through any temptation where he doesn't allow us to give us an escape to it. We looked at Hebrews and we're looking at Jesus went through everything as a man, not because he was God. No, because he was God, it was no big deal because he was God. It was probably nothing to him. No, he was 100% man. He suffered and he went through everything just like we did. Every pain and trial and tribulation that we go through, every mental anguish, every spiritual anguish, every physical anguish he went through. And I'm like, oh, what a Savior. He is the Savior of the world. So Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believeth the word Jesus has spoken unto him, and he went his way. There, you know, we look at it, there is seeking faith, his strengthening faith, and his stepping faith. Now he's going to step out by faith. And it says here, and as he went, was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. I could see him getting on his chariot and he's saying, you know, let's go, you know. Jesus says he liveth. All right, I've come to my, you know, when it comes to faith, sometimes God's got us get us to an exasperating point. We're just like, Lord, I can't do anymore. Good. Because God's saying, I'm going to do something. And he does that. And here he is. He's riding his chariot. And his servants come up to him and says, hey, master, guess what? Your son's healed. But I'm making a point here. Now, we'll have to read a few more verses and I'll get to my point. Verse 52. And when he required of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, now watch, here comes the miracle. Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever leaveth him. That's 1 p.m. in the afternoon. Do you realize that was 24 hours before that? Do you realize when he heard that, when Jesus says, go, he went and it was 20 miles away. He could have spent, you know, going, I guess, in chariot speeds, about 20, maybe 30 miles an hour. As long as you didn't hit any rocks or bumps, you'd be flying off the chariot. But he was like, you know what? I'm going to rest and I'm going to have some peace about this. I'm going to trust the Lord. And this is what I'm trying to tell everybody here. And this is what I've been learning this past week. I got to trust the Lord. I got to rest and I got to have peace in him. Because there's some things in my life right now. I want to go, giddy up and go. Let's get this ministry started here. Let's get this started here. Why is, you know, delays and people forgetting, and then he apologized to you, and I'm like, okay. But you know what this man did? He went to the closest hotel. He decided to go ahead and sleep on it. He decided, you know what? Yeah, I got to go back to Capernaum, and I've got to go ahead and see my son, but yeah, it's 20 miles away. I'm going to take a break. It took him 24 hours by the time he got back. So I'm thinking, going by chariot speed, he had to have stopped off somewhere and gotten some rest. And he had some rest and peace. And he tried to do the math with it, and that's what it breaks down to. And it's interesting. He said, yesterday, the seventh hour, the fever had left him. So the father knew, verse 53, it was the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believeth. And the whole house. Isn't that interesting? What a wonderful story. When it gets darkest, you've heard of that saying, you can see the light. Well, it got so dark for this man. He's just pleading with Jesus. Finally, he's like, all right, Jesus, he's dead. You know, Mary and Martha, the Lazarus. All right, he's been dead 4 days. Where you been, Jesus? And those echoes of the same words haunt me in my back of my mind. I'm thinking about that. It's been one of those weeks. It's been rough, you know. And some of you, if you could come up here and say, oh yeah, let me tell you, it's been rough too. Let me give a testimony. Well, I'll tell you what. The people came to know the Lord, and that was a blessing. You know, my goodness, God can always take, and I'm closing with this, God can always take a messed up situation and change things, radically change things in our lives. We're like, wow. You know, just last year, this was going on, and things had just changed. Look what's happened here, you know? And, you know, for our church today, we're looking at this today, too. I know God's in the background doing things. It's not for 1 minute I think his work's in vain. I don't think that at all. I think he's doing some wonderful things. But he has us here for a reason, his church, for all kinds of reasons. Verse 54, closing with this. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did. Remember, the first one was changing the water into wine when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. John mentions 8 major miracles that Jesus did. Why? That we may know that he is what? The Son of God. He is Christ. He's the one that came in the flesh. This man was just like, this is just great. This is wonderful. Look what Jesus has done for us. You know, years ago, I usually don't talk about much about myself, but years ago, I used to be a weightlifter. I used to lift weights one day after coming home from work and doing ministry, and I'd go out running the next day. This is years ago. This is when I had more hair on my head and I looked younger and everything. But those weights, seriously, those weights would tear down your muscles to what? Build you back up. Sometimes our faith takes some tearing down to build us back up. And, you know, I was thinking of somebody, what was it, 40 years ago I did that? Isn't that amazing how time flies, you know? When you're my age, you're doing calisthenics, you know? But the point is our faith is so important. It's so important that sometimes God has to tear us down to build us back up. And if we've had one of those rough weeks, or we will be having a rough week coming up, just remember that He's there with you. And if it wasn't for Jesus working with this nobleman would have never come to know the Lord. He says, just do a quick miracle. Let's get this over with. Heal my son. Get it over with. A lot of people today are just like, hurry up, get it done. Okay, we're good enough. Thank you. Bye. I got what I needed. But Jesus doesn't work that way. We've accepted Christ as our Savior. The nobleman realized by faith, hey, he had a stepping faith. He believed. He had a starting of faith and end it with a faith that, you know, he took steps in believing, and that he came to know Christ as his Savior, and his son got healed and his family got saved. And thank God we have seen that in our own lives. God has done that because we've gone out by faith and not by unbelief. But I think my time's done speaking, and I pray that we have a good week in the Lord. I pray that we'll be a good week in faith. And remember, when we fail the Lord, get back up. God's right there to help us out. Lord, we just thank you for this time. And thank you, Lord, for the meeting that's going to happen right afterwards. We just thank you, Lord, that in our own lives, we've experienced this where, Lord, we've had to take steps of faith. And thank you that you've always been there for us. We just pray that people that are searching for you today will take that step of faith and believe upon you that you are the Savior of the world. And Lord Jesus, that is nothing to be ashamed of. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for the boldness that you have given your people. We thank you for the death and burial and resurrection of you, Jesus. And we pray for those who don't know you that they would come to know you, come out to church, and give their heart to you before it's too late. This life is going by too quickly. And people are dying left and right. People are being born left and right. And life goes on. Nothing new under the sun. We just pray, Lord, that you change lives, Lord, that people would see you in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.